Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
If you've ever been fortunate enough to go to Hawaii, which I haven't been, I've never gone to the place that we call paradise on this earth, but if you're ever fortunate enough to go there and you go down the Kuna Coast, I am told that you will find a city called Refuge, the City of Refuge. And it was established a long time ago to protect people who were being sought by warring tribes. It was a place of safety, of relaxation, a place where you could literally find refuge. Many of us face an enemy sometimes called stress, and that's the reason we take vacations. That's the reason we seek out these places where we can feel safe and unwind and try to be who God created us to be instead of the miserable little worm that we normally are. I will tell you that my wife and I, since we've been married, have taken very few vacations. And I will admit readily, I confess before you, that's because I'm a workaholic. I used to tell my children, as many of you know, because I've confessed this before, but confession is good for the soul, and so I'm going to confess it again. I used to calculate how much it would cost for a particular vacation, and then I would bring my kids together in a room and divide amount of money that I would spend on them on the vacation and ask them if they wanted the money or they wanted the vacation. I would also point out that with the money they could buy that pair of Air Jordans they wanted so much. I was trying to be persuasive. And my children always took the money. My wife and I just toughed it out and faced stress face to face and tried to ignore the problems. But thankfully, God knows how we are. He knows who we are. He's known all of us since you were in your mother's womb. He's counted every hair on your head, including the white ones. He knows. And because of that, and because he has mercy on us, he has set aside one day a week, which we call the Sabbath, in which you're supposed to do no work. You're supposed to recharge your batteries. That's wonderful thing, you know. He was so sure that people would be industrious and work that he made them also take a year out of seven, and even the land wasn't to be tilled. It was allowed to be healed that one year out of seven. You see, God knows us. He knows that we go for everything we can get and that we drive ourselves all the time. And yet, he has prepared a way for us. He's much wiser than we are. He gave us these commands so that we would be more like who he created us to be. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden. They didn't have to toil. All they had to do was take of the trees and eat, and they were fine, except for one tree. And he knew in advance that we would try to take of it too. He told his people to set aside these days to remember him. To remember in your rest that he was the one who gave you rest. To remember in the seventh year when you let the land go and didn't till it, didn't sow it, didn't work it, that God was your provider. Not the land, and not your own strength. God has provided for us in so many ways. When you want to flee your troubles, God has provided a way of escape. He sent His Son to be our refuge, to be our place of safety. And His Son, Jesus, tells us that He so loves us that we can cast all of our cares on Him. That's a wonderful thing. Some of you are sitting here today and you have pains in your bodies, or your loved ones are sick or ill. You know what it means to be struggling. And yet God, Jehovah Shalom, wants to give you peace if you'll just turn to Him. Let us go before Him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that You love us so much, that You care for us so deeply, that You know all of our troubles even before we get into them. You know what lies ahead, and You have provided for us a way of escape. Father, we thank You and praise You for that. May each of us enter into that way today. May we learn to run to You. For Jesus has said, those who hear My voice, who are My sheep, follow Me. May we follow after You today. Father, cast all of our cares away. Let us be completely focused on You. May we hear Your voice. Father, as always, I ask that it is Your voice that we hear and not mine. My words are nothing. They're less than nothing. But Father, Your words are words of life, of peace, of forgiveness, of mercy, and of grace. Father, may we hear those words in our own spirits today. Whatever language we speak, may You speak to us today in Your language of love, that we may hear You clearly and come to You. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you turn with me to Joshua chapter 20? We're going to start with the very first verse. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person, accidentally or unintentionally, may flee there. And there they shall find refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands in the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver him, the slayer, into his hand. Because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, he did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in the city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is the high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. Cities of refuge have their beginnings in Leviticus, in Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In each of those cities, God has told His people through Moses that they should set these cities up. In Leviticus, in Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they were told that it was part of the law that they set aside a city of refuge. These zones or cities were set aside for people who unintentionally did something that would cause them death. You know, in our own society, we sometimes imprison people for life for stealing three times to feed their family. In Israel, they had no prisons. They had no place to incarcerate anyone. And so the law was very specific. If someone killed someone out of the vengeance of his own heart, out of ill will, he was to be stoned immediately right there by the congregation and killed, his life taken. There were no appeals. That was God's law, and it seems so harsh. But you have to understand that God also made provision for those whose hearts were free of the guilt of that sin. He said those who kill unintentionally may in fact find a city of refuge. In fact, the Bible tells us that they had to build roads from each city to their perspective little hamlet, so that the person who fled could run easily to a city of refuge. And we find from other historical accounts that these cities were positioned in such a way that you, if you accidentally killed someone and their family decided to harm you because you had killed one of theirs and they set someone to assassinate you, the avenger, that you would be able to reach a place of safety within one day. So that's the reason there were six cities. Six cities set out in such a way that you could leave your little hamlet, let's suppose it was Nazareth, you could find your way to a safe city in one day's travel. We also find out that the people were required by God to enter into God's will. It was God's will that these people have a way of escape. And so the people were obligated not only to build the roads, but one day a year to clean the roads, to fix the potholes, to remove the stumbling stones, to put up signs that basically said, this way to the refuge city, this way to safety. So that if you unintentionally in the field push somebody and they fell off the rock face that you were standing and they hurled to their death, that you could go to this city and be safe. God wanted us involved in that. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But he knows us. He knows our stubborn will. He knows how we react. And so, he's provided a place for people who we dislike to run to safety, and we are obligated to be a part of that journey. Think about that a minute. We are obligated to help those on the run. We're not to seek revenge. We're to help one another. We're to meet people on the run because you and I are on the run all the time. All of us are sinners saved by grace. All of us. All of us have broken the laws. Oh, I hear people from time to time say, oh, well, you know, these people, there shouldn't be these sanctuaries. There shouldn't be this and there shouldn't be that. We should enforce all of our laws. Really? You know that there is a law on the books to this day in Dallas, Texas, that says when you're driving your automobile, you have to get out of your car at every intersection and wave a red lantern to warn people on horses and horse-drawn carriages that you're there. Now, how many of you have broken that law? All of us. And how many of you think that law should be enforced? God's ways are better than our ways. He made the sanctuary cities, not men. He created them. He set them apart for people to run to. It says in Revelation that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. God knew you before you were born, and he made provision for you while you were yet in your mother's womb. He knew that you would need a Savior, and so he sent his Son to be that Savior. He loved you that much. Think about that a moment. Just contemplate how much you have to love someone to give something away that's very dear to you that you will never, ever see the fruit of. The only thing I could think of this last week that even comes close is a life insurance policy. I took out a life insurance policy when I was traveling a long time ago, and I've renewed it because I had heart attacks and I had things, and I worried about my wife and children and about how they would be provided for if I weren't here. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, I've got to do something. And so a rather large amount of money, because I had to renew it after I'd had a heart attack, so it's a large amount of money, goes out, and I never see it every month. And, you know, I have joked with my kids that I'm going to outlive, possibly, the term of this life insurance policy, and they're going to get nothing. But I love them so much, I may commit suicide by eating chocolate pie. I will never see any of that money on that term life insurance policy, but it's there. That's a small way in which human beings can understand that you do things for others before they actually need it. God provided a way where there was no way. You had committed sins against God. But Jesus went to the cross for your sins that you committed today and yesterday, so that there would be a way for you to get back to God. He is the refuge. He is that place that we run to for safety and for strength. It's available to everybody, not just the people of the 12 tribes, but God made these cities available for a stranger in their midst. In other words, he made it possible for someone who was traveling from Ethiopia to commit a crime against a human being in Israel and made a place for them to go and be safe and be cared for, even though they were not part of the tribe. You realize that God is doing that again today? That he's never stopped doing that? That he loves us so much that he is going to provide for the stranger? I thank God for that, because I was a stranger. I was not born a Jew. And most of you weren't either. We were not born into the family, and yet he grafted us in. He made a way where there was no way. All of us, everybody, is entitled to run to that place of refuge. Jesus said, anyone could come, that all may come. There is no stumbling block for you, because someone has gone out on that road and removed the potholes and removed the stumbling blocks so that you can make your way safely to this place of refuge, which is the arms of Jesus Christ. That is where we are. Proverbs 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves those who have a contrite spirit. The Lord is here for you today. It's good. You don't have to get a ticket to Israel. You don't have to fly to London or to Houston. You don't even have to drive to Dallas. You don't even have to go to one of the big churches. He's right here, right now, waiting for you with open arms. Think about that. The Christ is waiting for you with open arms. He loves you. He cares about you. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It matters what God thinks. God set these things up in Old Testament times. Jews had this obligation to clean up the roads. In Deuteronomy 19, it says they had to build the roads, but they had to keep those roads clear. That's an obligation that every person who calls themselves a follower of Jesus Christ has today. We have to make the way straight. We have to clean up the road. We have to clean up the road for those who are still in their sins, who, like us, are sinners, saved only by grace. We have to put up a signpost that says, this is the way. You know, it says, the old saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But I tell you what you can do. You can water his oats. You can make sure that they get some moisture in them, even if they're just eating. There is no method of bringing people to Christ that we should not be engaged in and involved in, because it's an obligation. We have drunk freely from the water of life. The world is thirsty. They're dying of dehydration. This world of ours, America, they say is 90% of the people have dehydration. They're not have a thirst for water. They don't drink water. But if you begin to drink water, if you begin to have 8 glasses of water a day, you will develop a thirst for water. We have to take people who are on a dusty road and show them the way to the water. And make sure you water some oats while you're there. Get to that safe city. In other words, God has been taking people like you and me to help others along their way ever since Jesus walked on this earth. That's what we're supposed to do. Churches have been giving refuge or sanctuary. That's the reason we call this place that we're standing in a sanctuary. Because you can come in here at any time with any sin on your back, with multiple problems on your mind, with all kinds of things attacking your spirit, and you're free to come here because we love you just the way you are. This is why you come. You come to a safe place. In the Middle Ages, they had a sanctuary. A sanctuary was some place where a person who had committed a sin of killing a deer on the king's property, you know, that was a death sentence if you shot a deer to feed your family. But they could run into the church, and the church offered a sanctuary. Some churches are doing that today because of immigration laws, because of other laws, because of people who are faced with having an abortion or whatever. They give sanctuary to all kinds of people. I like to think of us as a sanctuary, as a church of people whose hearts are open to do the will of God, to help others along their way. That is why we call it a sanctuary, a place of refuge. We're not to judge. We're to help. You know, if we stop everybody and say, hey, by the way, show me your credentials. Why do you, can you possibly show me, teach me why you deserve this? Well, none of us deserve it. Not one of us deserves it. That's why we call it grace. Grace is for something you do not deserve. We have people standing out here and getting food from us every Tuesday, and there are lots of families, and we're approaching 300 families a week that come, and that's representing 1,500 people every week, and they come. We don't say, by the way, do you deserve the food? We just give them the food. We're acting as a kind of a sanctuary. We're providing for people. When we took people in because of the great storm, Katrina, and we put people in, we sheltered them. You know, I remember talking one night about this right when Katrina began to happen. And I said, you know, there may be refugees, people seeking refuge after this terrible ordeal. And I said, we need to do something about it. Maybe we should open our gymnasium or our sanctuary here over here to people who are homeless, who've been washed out of everything. And I remember something that Clayton Jones said to me right then, right in front of everybody. He said, "Pastor, I don't see that we have any choice. We don't have any choice. And we didn't have any choice. And so we opened it up. We didn't have a place for people to shower, so we brought in showers. We didn't have a place for people to do things, and we had to feed people out of our little kitchen, and we weren't ready for that. We weren't ready for anything. But we had to do it." Sometimes God wants you to work with Him, to allow Him to provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is the one who does everything. But we can help and we can be a part of what He does if we are people of refuge. You know, that's the way it is. Psalms 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Those who believe in the name of Jesus find refuge." All you have to do is believe on His name. You can find comfort and love and acceptance there. Those who simply believe on the name of Jesus. That should be the mindset of every Christian. We should have that same Old Testament mindset that we're obligated to make straight the ways of people, to make sure the road is clear, to make sure the signposts are up. We ourselves should be those signposts. We should be the signpost that says to everyone that we meet on the road, and we're all running on the road from something, and we should say to them, like the disciples said of Jesus, "Come and see. Come and see. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one comes to the Father except by Him." Come on. We should be there inviting others to receive what we've received. That's what it means to be a refuge, a place of refuge. That no man comes to the Father but by Him. If you want a refuge from your sins, if you have a problem in your life that's too big for someone to handle, for you to handle, your family to handle. Maybe you have cancer in your life. Maybe you have something else that's come against you. You have heart disease, or you have a chronic pain, or you have this, or you have that. You've got something in your life that you're trying to flee from, but it always has its grips on you, and you can't get away from it. And you're struggling with it, and it seems too big for the doctor to handle. You've gone to the doctor time after time, and nothing has happened. You've gone because maybe you're broke, and you don't have any money, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And people have told you, you're not worthy of this, you're not worthy of that. You can't have any of it. Jesus is the source of every good and perfect thing. And He wants to give you life. He wants to give it to you abundantly. He wants to be Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. Where do we run when we're sick? Do we run to the doctor or the medicine chest, or do we run to Jesus? Where do we run? Who is our physician? You can tell who your physician is by where you run. If you want refuge from the penalty of your sins, you need to look to the cross, because all of that was already paid for. He paid for it in advance, knowing that you would need it. He shed His blood so that you could be washed clean, because He knew you needed it. He did it while we were yet His enemies, because He loved us beyond what any man can love you. He loved you with the love of God. We need to understand that if we rush into His arms, that we have found a place of safety. Now, is the road going to be smooth, and is it going to always be broad? No, Jesus says the broad way leads away from Him. He says the narrow way comes to Him. the narrow way, the upward way, the difficult way. He said, these things that have happened to me are going to happen to you. Because people hated me, they'll hate you too. All of that comes with the package. We're not promising you a rose garden, but the crown of thorns. Jesus comes into our life to tell you that he's prepared for you when you're wearing the crown of thorns. It says in the Bible that Jesus humbled himself because of what was set before him. He endured the cross because he had the promise of the Father that he would be with him again. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. For you. Put your name right there. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. And where he is, there you may be also. He's gone ahead. He's already done it. It's already being built. You don't have to do it. All you have to do is run to him. When he opens his arms, you need to go to him. There was a story, a true story, about a young boy who was caught on the second floor of a burning building. Firefighters couldn't get to him because the heat was too intense. He was at the window and the flames were right behind him and his father was down on the ground. And he said, jumped, I'll catch him. And the boy hesitated because he was old enough to know that if he jumped, he might break a leg, he might break his father's arms, he might do anything. He was old enough to know the consequences of jumping, and he hesitated. And his father said, jump, I'll catch you. All you have to do to find safety is to jump into the arms of God. He is able to carry your burdens. He is able to soften the blow. He is able to take it upon himself. He said, cast all of your cares on me. I can take it. I can take it. Jesus was thinking of you when the nails were going through his hands. He was thinking of you when the nails went through his feet. He was thinking of you when they put that crown of thorns on his head. With every lash, he thought about you. He died for you. While Jesus was on the cross, you were on his mind. He loves you. And he would have done all of that just for you. He changed the world. He changed my world. He has changed your world. He is our source. He is our refuge. He is our escape. He is the one we run to when we are in trouble. And we're always in trouble. That's the reason God tells us to pray without ceasing. We're always in trouble. But God's love is always available.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.